Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank. It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Al, you wanted to focus on some positive things? I'm all about it. I'm Captain Sunshine each and every day. I'm lovable and adorable, and I'm not a prickly pear whatsoever, so I'm happy to jump through your rainbow.
Well, I just want to make sure that we know that there were some good things that happened that, you know, didn't happen that often in the last couple of years. Our special teams was just unbelievable.
Ooh,
it was unbelievable.
What part of our special teams is unbelievable?
I think that when you consider that you have two kicks.
Because there's four parts of special teams.
That you have two kicks that were blocked.
Okay, so our blocking units were really good. But then again, Pecco caused a penalty on a play that cost us points.
Listen, the unit itself.
Blocking kicks was really good.
Blocking kicks was excellent.
That's one.
I mean, it gave us a touchdown, and it should have gave us two touchdowns.
You are correct. So that was good. What about our kickoff coverage team? How was that?
I thought it was okay. We had one penalty on Yadam that was... We had one return to the 34-yard line, I believe, and Yadam got a penalty that extended the play.
Right, so that's a C to a... Maybe an
F. What the hell is wrong with you today? What is wrong with you today?
Nothing's wrong with me, but Yadam caused a penalty when he wasn't even on the field.
That has nothing to do with the special teams. That had nothing to do with the unit.
Okay.
What is wrong with you?
Because they started with the ball where?
48-yard, plus 48-yard line.
On a kickoff.
Yeah, because of the penalty and the good return.
Okay.
They gave up a good return to, I believe it was a 38-yard line. We got him out, we got him down, got him on the ground. But other than that, the unit itself did great. They didn't put the ball at the 48-yard line.
Okay.
Because of the penalty on Yadam, the ball was extended to the 48-yard line. And I thought that was a ticky-tacky call.
Okay. How was our punting game?
The punting team, no returns, no blocks, and 39-yard average. Average at best.
Average.
Average. 39. I mean, you average 39 yards in Baltimore on a rainy day.
So we had a good, not spectacular kickoff team. We had an above-average kick-blocking effort, and we had a below-average punting team. So your overall grade, that's all part of special teams, correct?
Well, if you're given a unit, if you tell me right now, we have a touchdown return and did not give up one, I'm giving you an A every week in that department because of one simple rule. You increase your team score by 7 points, and it should have been more. So that's an A.
Right, no matter what happened.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a penalty. It got called back.
We got the ball on the 6-yard line and scored.
Oh, that. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Yeah, that was great. That was a great way to start the game.
That's the way you start a game.
That was great. So that's an A plus.
Yeah, we got an A. I call it an A. That was a good day on special teams.
Oh, no. That was a good day on blocking. It wasn't a good day on special teams,
That was
teams,
a good
though.
Day on special teams.
So that one moment makes up for
No.
38-yard punts that give up field goals at the end of the game.
38-yard punts.
End of the half.
Yeah, but you know what? The way I look at it is that if we don't drop that football that we're calling Sutton, then we don't have to be in that situation. So, I mean, it was a bad day. It was just a bad day.
Okay. What else was positive?
I thought DT played his ass off yesterday. I thought that he was outstanding. He played with a lot of integrity, a lot of heart in those wet conditions, and he was better than he was even playing here in Denver when the conditions were perfect. So, DT was outstanding yesterday. Great job by 88.
Anything else?
Emmanuel Sanders, I thought, toughed it out after clearly being injured yesterday. I thought he toughed it out and played well. That I think those are the three people that I would highlight and say job well done. Of course, Royce Freeman is just outstanding running with the football. But the second down and one, the third down and one, and then the fourth down there at the in the fourth quarter was a little disappointing. We could not get the 1 yard. We could not get the 2 yards in that situation. That's something that he's done really well. But once again, the one thing that we said about the Baltimore Ravens is that they're big, they're long, and they're gritty. They're grimy. They are muddy kind of players. They aren't quick. They aren't fast. They didn't have anybody on that defensive line that I thought would cause us to have the kind of problems that we had out of them yesterday. But this is the NFL. You just never know. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, you can say that you know, but you never know what's going to happen. And our team yesterday did not look its greatest. But with that, we had some things that happened that were good and that we can build on. And I thought Yadam, after giving up a long play, I thought he came in and played well. And I think that's the direction that we need to go with. Yadam is our third corner.
Oh, so you would release Pac-Man Jones?
No, you don't have to release him, but I'm just saying if you need a fourth corner.
Well, you paid him $1 million. I mean, you might as well keep him around, right? Right? You made that decision.
No, you play Yadam because he has the speed and flexibility that you're looking for out of a young corner. And I think that.
What do you do with Pac-Man Jones then?
He's a fourth corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you use fourth corners in this league.
Okay.
So I would say that.
What do you do with Tremaine Brock then?
Well, Tremaine Brock, I don't know what you do with him.
So we got Roby, Harris, Yadam, Jones, and Tremaine Brock is what now?
He may be your backup guy. He's your backup guy.
He's a backup guy.
He's a backup guy.
All right.
Because if he's got lower body issues, he can't help you on special teams. So he's a guy that you deactivate.
When we can come back, Case Keenum. I understand you got some thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll break it down. Case Keenum next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Demon.
It's picked off! It's a lesson on the return!
Case Keenum. What did he do yesterday? Case Keenum, 22 of 34 for 192 yards. A lot of that coming late in the game, obviously. Sacked 3 times, threw a pick. No touchdowns. No tutties. And a rating of 67.3. Okay, Case Keenum, Alfred. What's going on?
Well, the announcers did a good job of alerting everybody to something that was clearly happening last night, or should I say yesterday in the game. And is that the ball was dying on Case Keenum on routes that were outbreaking or near the sideline. And it's not that Case Keenum doesn't have the arm strength, but the one thing that we did highlight, and I think we did a good job of talking about this on Friday, is how big Joe Flacco's hands are. You know, and we talked about this, I think, for a couple of segments about, you know, Joe Flacco not playing in, you know, with gloves on, and then how he can grip the football. That's one of the reasons that you look for those big quarterbacks is for days like yesterday. When it's raining outside, you have to grip the football. Case Keenum clearly couldn't grip the football, and it was an issue. And because of that, I think that he had a bad day. And those things we have to be leery of when we are playing in inclement weather. And also, in those situations, you're going to have to really depend on your jump ball ability with those big wide receivers outside. One mistake that I thought that Case made yesterday that really put us behind the eight ball, besides throwing the interception in the red zone, if it would have been an incomplete, what do we do? We go for it on fourth down, right? I mean, you're down 13 I think it was roughly 7.5 minutes or so ago, eight minutes. What do you do? I think you go for it on fourth down.
You probably would have. Well, that was the play when you had it fourth and one, and then you had 12 guys in the huddle.
And, right. And that's on Case. That's on Case.
Yeah, and also it is interesting when you have to move relatively quickly and time is a factor. You have the ball that low. You just don't throw it a couple times into the end zone to try to hurry the touchdown along.
Well, I think the mindset was run the ball, get the first down, and then we'll have a fresh set of downs to run our normal offense.
Well, didn't they have a first down?
We had it second and one. I think we had second and one. We had third and one. And then on fourth down, second and one, third and two, and then on fourth down at the end of the game, we end up throwing a ball to Jake Butt in that situation where...
I'm getting things a little mixed up here. So it was first and goal at the 9. Keenum pass short to Heuerman, pushed out. Then it's second and 5, pass incomplete. And then a penalty on Bowles. So that's it. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about another play. So that was the penalty on Bowles.
Right, holding.
So you go from second down and goal at the 5 to second down and goal from the 15. So the interception came on second down. You could have taken a sack. You could have thrown it away. I mean, you know, you weren't really in a panic. Throwing interceptions on second down is very Trevor Siemian-like. You know,
it was not a good decision, but once again, where he threw the ball, it was late and it was in the middle of the field.
That was a horrible decision.
You can't make that throw. But all day long, I thought it was an issue with him throwing the football because of the length. First of all, I think he had a couple passes dropped, the length of the size of the guys from the Ravens, and then also the inability to grab and grip the football. The one thing that we know about Case Keenum is that he can get it done. He's a winner in this league. He had a good year last year, but that year was spent in a dome. It's something that we have to pay attention to because you don't get those. When you're playing in Minnesota, you're going to have opportunities to play all those home games in a dome. It's something that we just have to pay attention to as the weather starts to change. And I know it's a little cooler today than it was last week. So we have to pay attention to that and weather days and how we perform on bad weather days. But it's something that I had.
Well, that's a little disappointing considering where we live and who we play.
Of course. Of course it is.
We don't play a lot of dome teams.
A lot of what?
We don't play a lot of dome teams.
Right.
And we're not
right.
a dome.
Right.
So if that really is a major issue, Alfred,
that means he couldn't grip the football.
If you're being honest about that, and you're saying
he couldn't grip the football yesterday,
if you're saying that's a big deal, then that's really tough because there's nothing you can do to change it.
There's nothing you can do. I mean,
so
the guy
Case Keenum is a wasted choice for the Broncos.
Well,
because
if he can't grip the football on days where he can't grip the football, it's going to be an issue.
But you're literally talking about something that you can't change Case Keenum's hand size.
No, you cannot.
So if you're really honest about this as a major issue, then you should be moving on from Case Keenum as soon as humanly possible. Are you sure you mean that?
Listen, he had a hard time gripping the football yesterday. You could clearly see in his route when he was trying to throw in his route delivery that he could not get the zip on the football that I'm used to seeing
from
him.
So we have an issue. That we...
It could have been just yesterday.
Well, what is it,
Alfred? It could have been the balls. It was an issue.
Okay. But if you're serious about it, and you're saying it's really a serious issue...
It was an issue yesterday.
But why wouldn't it be an issue next week? Or in November? Or in December?
Because I don't think... We don't hardly get games where the ball is going to be wet all day.
We get games like that all the time.
No, we don't.
We are in Denver, Colorado.
We don't get games like that all the time. No, we don't.
We could get a game like that, basically.
We don't get a lot of games. We're not
from
Seattle.
From November through December.
I mean, we're not Seattle. We don't get games where
Why would the Denver Broncos acquire a quarterback who's got grip issues because of his hand size when we play in the elements all the time? Not only do we play in the elements.
A huge upgrade over what we had.
Not only do we play in the elements, the Raiders play in the elements, the Chargers are outside, and so are the Chiefs.
Are you worried about rain in Oakland? Are you worried about rain in Los Angeles?
There's been tons of games played in the rain.
I'm asking you, are you worrying about that in those two cities?
I'm not worried about this at all because I didn't bring it up.
I brought it up because it was a problem yesterday.
I didn't even think about his hand size and grip. You did.
I did. I brought it up because it was an issue yesterday.
To me, it's not an issue at all. But to you, you brought it up.
I brought it up because I'm trying to give you your football 101 today.
All right. So if this is a problem yesterday, why wouldn't it continue to be a problem in similar type of conditions?
Yeah, but most NFL games from here on won't be rain days.
But see, do you see what you just did? You brought up a serious, legitimate problem.
It's an issue.
That could go on for a long time. And then you're trying to say why a legitimate problem that you've brought up isn't really that big of a deal.
It was an issue yesterday.
And I'm saying you brought up a great point. You are correct. And this is an unfixable problem.
That's right.
And we play
in
the elements.
It was yesterday.
If we were the Houston Texans,
this would not be a big deal. We'll be good.
If this was the Indianapolis Colts,
we will be good.
Where the Texans are in that division. So they're playing at least 9 games in a dome a year. It's no big deal. If we were the Minnesota Vikings,
right,
where Keenan actually played and performed well, it would not be a big deal. But you are literally telling us in all Broncos country that we have an unfixable problem with our quarterback
that could lead to future problems.
Well,
if it rains.
So snow's no big deal?
No, because in snow. See, this is what I'm trying to educate you here. In snow, the ball isn't always wet. It's not always wet in snow. Okay. Snow, especially here in Denver, the snow is not sticky, tacky.
You made a great point. You just don't like the conclusion to your great point.
I'm trying to explain this to you in a way that you can understand.
Yeah, did you realize your great point means that we really do have to move on from Case Keenum? Why?
It's like saying Peyton Manning can't throw a 50-yard pass. Does that mean you don't want to play? You don't want to use Peyton Manning?
The announcers pointed out how his pass was dipping.
Dying.
It's not his arm strength. It's his grip ability with his hands.
They didn't mention that, but I saw it, and it was
his grip. I think you're making a brilliant point. I'm giving you all the credit in the world, but your point does have consequences.
But listen, when you play in Denver, Colorado, when they shovel that snow off the field, they don't, you know, the field isn't, you know, littered with snow here in Denver because it's not Buffalo. I'm like, golly, I'm trying to explain to you how even if it did snow, the chances of it snowing in the game and being slippery and wet.
You're making a great, I'm really trying to pump you up here because you're making a great point. You're saying that Case Keenum really had the year of his life in a much more controlled environment.
Playing in a dome.
Where the issues with his height, his hand size, those sort of things were mitigated by perfect weather conditions.
Perfect.
Okay.
At least 8 games.
And one thing we know, by the way, this is a great reason why John Elway had such an amazing career in Denver. The weather didn't matter to John. He was a big, tall, strong guy with an incredible grip, huge hands. He had just physical abilities that overcame the weather situation. Rightfully so, you pointed out Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco had zero problems yesterday.
I mean, that ball was coming out of his hand.
And we saw Joe Flacco in Denver on the coldest day we can ever remember football, warming up and playing an entire game with no gloves, and it was not a problem.
I wish they would make a mistake and at some point go with Lamar Jackson and leave a guy like Joe Flacco on the free agent market. He's just... He's what an NFL quarterback usually looks like. That's why on the NFL... draft, we talked about Baker Mayfield, and I was like, that's not who you draft.
Yeah, but the nature of the NFL has changed.
Well, I mean, hand size and size and all that stuff, those things, I think they matter.
The crazy thing about the NFL.
Patrick Mahomes, by the way, has huge hands, and that's why the ball rockets out of his hand.
Flutie has huge hands. It doesn't matter if you're short. If you have big hands, it doesn't matter. Flutie's got, like, ridiculous hands.
You cannot lose grip on the football. You can't. There's something, I'm telling you, man, there's something about
being
able to hold the football and possess it and get it there. And yesterday, clearly, Case was struggling with that on that 4th-and-2.
You're right.
And he was retreating and threw the football, even though it was a pass interference. You know, he didn't even give the receiver a chance because it was at his feet.
But you can't make a great point, which you did, and then try to mitigate your great point.
If it's raining... I don't know if I'm ever picking the Broncos again. I said it was going to be a problem Friday, but I thought we could have jump balls rather than you know, it's just different. It's different.
We'll get to some of your reaction. We've had our time to sort of get it out there. Time to hear from you. Vent it out a little bit. See what we can throw. We got some comments from, you know, Vance Joseph and Pecco and all sorts of stuff. So, all right, we're feeling good. Fine. Everybody's all right. This is an expected loss. What do you do now? This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Allen Demon.
Troy Rank had a player on the Broncos ban Troy Rank from interviewing him ever again. Sound like an interesting story? We'll bring it up with Troy in about 10 minutes. Ray, you're on the Fan. What do you got, Ray?
Yeah, guys, how are you doing today?
Super.
Well, I wanted to continue on with the discussion about Case Keenum and his small hands and the wet field. And basically, after watching the first couple weeks, I noticed that he was losing confidence slowly. And going into week three, after the first couple passes, I watched a pass to Emmanuel Sanders that didn't even reach him. And you could just see Emmanuel Sanders after the play shaking his head as he's walking away. And as the game kind of went on, you could just see in Case Keenum's reactions and how he was playing that he just had no confidence in his own pass, and that's where he started scrambling backwards.
You know, and this is what I was trying to explain last week when we were talking about Case Keenum. Listen, all this conversation and talk about interceptions, man, throw them away, man. Who cares? Who cares?
The players care, though.
You know what? No. The players don't care. The players don't care. The players.
Case Keenum doesn't care?
No, the player cares. You said the players.
Oh.
The players don't care. The players want. The players. You know what? Case Keenum doesn't want to be a bad quarterback. But when you win games in this league, you're a good quarterback. You know, if somebody's telling you that you're not a good quarterback because you throw interceptions, but you're winning games, they don't understand you. This may be part of your DNA, but you got to let it rip. How many times yesterday did Case just hold on to the football,
forever,
trying to do the right thing, trying to make the right read? You know, he put his offensive line in trouble a few times because he just didn't have the confidence, or maybe he didn't see the field or whatever reason.
It was the exact opposite advice that we encouraged him. We said
gotta,
this is going to be a tough game no matter what.
You got to sling it, man.
Let it rip.
Right. Let it rip. I was saying last week that Case is going to throw for 400 yards. I didn't know it was going to rain when I made the statement. Listen, man, the rain is, I mean.
Are you blaming it on the rain?
Oh, the rain is a beast, man. The rain is a beast.
You're blaming it on the rain.
You know, I'm watching the Chargers play the Rams yesterday. I'm like, we probably would have threw for 400 yards there, you know, no matter who what team we're playing against. But it's something that you never forget.
Wait a second.
When you're a player.
What is that?
The weather conditions always count.
There's something coming. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Alfred?
Wait, I'm just blaming it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain.
And it's picked off! It's a Wilson Wonder return!
Blame it on the stars!
He went all Milli Vanilli on us. Blamed it on the rain.
Well, I just know.
Blame it on the refs.
You know, and
Pecco didn't do anything that bad. Blame it on the refs. Lindsay should be able to jump on any pile and start swinging.
By the way.
Blame it on the refs. Blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain.
Got some small hands.
I will also say this. What yesterday showed us is that Philip Lindsay should never play special teams ever again.
Blame it on special teams. Yeah.
You never want that guy. You want him available for all of your offensive plays. And to put him at risk on special teams going forward is wrong. Our offense doesn't look the same without him in there. I mean, am I right about that?
No doubt. He had 5 yards per carry when he got himself kicked out.
You know, so when we're talking about players like that, forget it. No more special teams for him. And I know, you know, you said that it's not that big of a deal because of, you know, it's only 10 to 15
plays. Never return a kickoff.
I just think that he's proven now that he is he's a special player in this league. You know, don't put that guy on kickoff.
Does Christian McCaffrey play on special teams now?
Not on kickoff. I don't think so.
No, he used to on punt return for Carolina, and they took him off of it.
He's not a punt returner anymore?
No, sir.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, when you have a guy that's – he is so different, man. Booker had five carries yesterday for 10 yards.
You know, Philip Lindsay was going to be our punt returner. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, five for 10. Yeah. 5 for 10 for Booker, and – he looked like he just cannot run under his feet. Like he can't, you know, he's always leaning forward, which is good in running back terms, but you have to be able to have that balance to get to the place where you can get to that move on the second level guy. The offensive line still blocked for 100.5. I mean, what is 140 on the ground?
No, I think we had 120. Which is funny.
There you go, 120.
That was exactly the number I told you. Remember,
I said 120. I said over. But that's still against that team. That's a good job.
Yeah, it was fun.
So we Philip Lindsay, you should be done now. You've proven your worth. The offense looks ordinary to below ordinary without you in it. Therefore, you no longer belong on special teams.
Well, quite a moment. By the way, there's people who are connected with Philip Lindsay who are like going off on social media.
About what?
Oh, my Lord. I don't even want to get into it. But can I just pass the word that if you're related to anybody, if you're connected to any player, you're just not doing them any favors whatsoever by going off on people on social media. You're not helping.
Say that again now. I don't understand.
If you're connected to an athlete, your girlfriend, your brother, your relative, your friend, and you start going off on fans about anything, you're not doing who you like the most, theoretically, any favors. And it's a little bit tough here for Philip Lindsay because this is his hometown. So
what are people going off about?
I'd rather not go into the specific details of it, but that did happen.
Is this something about the way that he plays?
It was criticism about what he did, and then people, somebody connected to him, going off about things, and I got thrown into the loop of it. It's just like, what are you doing?
Why are you in it?
Got me. I didn't choose to be.
Why?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to stay away from the fray.
I had nothing to do with it, nor did I contribute to it, but I could see everything that was going on. It's just, you're not doing anybody any favors.
Well, let's take a break and you tell me what the hell you're talking about on the other side.
And meanwhile, there's a captain on the Broncos. A captain on the Broncos that was so flustered that he has now spoken out telling reporters not to talk to him.
A captain?
A captain on the Broncos came out on social media and was ripping people and said, "No, I'm not going to do any more interviews with you." Whoo! Gotta get together, Broncos. We'll talk to Troy Rank about Dove Valley next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Troy Rank is our pal. And he is brought to you by Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Okay, Troy, it's always fun when you get in the story a little bit. Why don't you tell us what happened with you and Todd Davis with your tweet about something and Todd threatening to, I guess, not talk to reporters ever again. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a simple reaction to the drive when Mark Andrews had a 30-yard gain as a tight end for the Ravens. And, you know, one of the dangers of tweeting in real time is you don't know coverage assignments. I mean, and so you're a little vulnerable. I tweeted that Todd Davis lost Andrews in coverage, and then he responded after the game on Twitter that it wasn't his responsibility and it wasn't his guy. And then I had communicated with him right after that and another teammate to verify that. And they said, yeah, wasn't his guy. So I tweeted out that, hey, that's the danger of tweeting in real time. It wasn't his guy. That's on me. That's my mistake. I will always stand by something I write and say, but I also, if I'm wrong and it wasn't his guy, then I need to admit, as I did, that it wasn't his guy. So I'm not worried about it. The guys were pretty emotional after yesterday, as you might imagine, D-Mac. Very frustrating loss. It was a game they felt like they should have won.
Yeah, but, like, you know, it wasn't just that, though, Troy. A captain on the team, you know, reached out to say how wrong you were and then say, I'm not going to talk to any more of you reporters or something like that. You know, it's not just any player. He's a new captain on the team. So if you're telling me, okay, the guys are emotionally fragile, I'd say, all right, I mean, I like, get it. But why are you that fragile? Like, why is it that big of a deal to you when simply you could have pointed out, no, that really wasn't my guy, you know, something like that. And if you've got enough of a relationship with him, then why some sort of public statement like that? And it looks like he's deleted his tweet, too. So the whole thing is kind of washed away, I understand. But I guess what I'm digging for here is how emotionally fragile is this team and why is one of their captains one of the most emotionally fragile guys on the team?
Yeah, I don't know. Fragile is more just they were really upset. So my guess is, again, this is me speculating, that he just going through social media and saw it and it just, you know, it triggered him. Like, hey, that wasn't my guy. You know, like, maybe I'm getting blamed for other stuff, but now you're blaming me for this. That wasn't my guy. Again, as a captain, you're right. I mean, moving forward, this is the team that needs to be.
Troy, go ahead. Okay, you dropped out there for a second, Troy. Just finish your thought.
Yeah, there were calls that went against them that were questionable, but they need to be mentally tougher going forward, clearly.
You know, the weather yesterday played a factor, I thought, in Case Keenum delivering the football. He didn't have the zip that he normally has, and some passes were low that normally aren't low. And on that fourth down and two to Jake Butt, he couldn't get enough on the football to even get it to Jake as he was retreating. And that's something we haven't seen from our quarterback this year. How wet was the conditions yesterday? Did the field drain well? Many times from the television, it just looked like it was just drizzling.
Yeah, early in the first half and early in the game, I think the weather was a little bit of a factor. Al, in the second half, it was not. It wasn't raining much in the second half at all. Keenum looked a little frazzled. The pressure was coming from the outside consistently, and it looked like, again, he said, you know, hey, every sack has a story and all that, and that's true, but he looked a little bit frazzled to the pressure. You know, Terrell Suggs was getting into the backfield consistently, and he looked like his mechanics got off. Al, you're right. There were throws that he didn't make that we've seen him make. And let's be honest, he has to be better. He's tied for the league lead with 5 picks right now, and he has 3 touchdowns, which ranks near the bottom of all ranking quarterbacks. So, I mean, if they're going to get back to the playoffs, they need him to play better. And I think he'd be the first to tell you that. But, you know, it starts with a huge challenge this week with Kansas City. But I don't think the weather wasn't as much of it, Al, as the fact that he was under real duress for the first time as a Bronco in terms of the pressure.
Well, that sounds a lot like Trevor Siemian last year, Troy.
But hold on. You know, I'm trying to equate this 5 interceptions to being, you know, to where you are ranked as a quarterback. Isn't the ultimate goal just the record?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if they're going to get back to the playoffs, Al, there's no way they're getting back to the playoffs unless he has something close to a 3-to-1 touchdown-to-pick ratio. Because they don't have a margin for error. If he finishes with 18, 20 interceptions, they're going to have a losing record. They had 22 interceptions last year. He had 7 all of last year. I mean, he needs to keep that number around 10 to 12 for them realistically to be a playoff team. So I think he will get better as he's getting. Part of it is he's never been the man before. There's some pressure with that. And he's been really good in the fourth quarter. You said similar to the Siemian, D-Mac, after 3 games, probably Siemian had better numbers this time last year. But Siemian hadn't played well in the fourth quarter like Keenum has. But Keenum has to put a full game together. We haven't seen that yet.
Well, the comparison is Simeon's numbers might have been better initially, but he got shell-shocked. I mean, it was obvious. So what we're hearing is you tell us, wow, Case Keenum has, you know, bad numbers, worse even than Siemian, and he also is looking a bit shell-shocked out there.
No, not shell-shocked like Siemian did. Remember, Siemian, the downfall for him started at the Chargers game when Melvin Ingram nearly decapitated him. I interviewed Siemian after that game, and it was like talking to a boxer who'd been knocked out or a pitcher at Coors Field who was just like, I don't know, I don't have answers for you. Why he started that next game at Kansas City, I'll never have a good a clue, because he was dazed on his feet, out on his feet. So when I say frazzled, I just meant Keenum was holding onto the ball a little bit. He was looking for things maybe that weren't there.
So
but it wasn't like
frazzled is different than shell-shocked.
shell-shocked was Simeon was knocked out on his feet after that Chargers game for me. Because his nose was bloodied, his face was puffy. He took a beating that game against the Chargers that, for me, he never recovered from.
So you're not worried about Case Keenum's confidence?
Not his confidence. He has real confidence. I'm just, you know, if you're a Bronco fan, you have to be concerned, is he going to play better? Because if he's just average, they're not going to get to the playoffs. He's got to be better than average. Because their defense has some issues right now, guys. I mean, they can't just, it's not like years past where the defense was, you know, putting Revlon and blemish over everything. The defense has its own issues. So the offense has to be the team's strength right now.
Chris Harris through, I think, Joe Woods. Aaron, let me play you, all right, let me say what Chris Harris said. Right, because you just brought up the defense. So Chris Harris said yesterday, quote, we got to move and disguise better. We're not tricking anybody right now. They know exactly what's coming. And VJ addressed those comments.
That's some of the problems, you know, could be that, you know, but the bottom line is we got to, you know, obviously play better and, you know, and especially in man, you know, man-to-man situations. And we got to.
So is that VJ just agreeing with Chris Harris, basically?
He said he had no problem with what Chris speaking up because Chris is playing well. That kind of he has the right as a veteran. And it's the second straight week they've questioned Joe Woods' strategy and coverage. I mean, so that's a concern if you're a Bronco fan. Like, what the heck? And I would think if I'm Vance Joseph, I'm getting even more involved. He says he's involved in the defensive game planning, but I sense that he might be even more involved going forward because they can't – if they play defense like they did against the Ravens, against the Chiefs, they're going to get blown out. I mean, the Chiefs are averaging almost 40 points a game. If you play off of them, I mean, the guys, quarterbacks are completing 69% of their passes against the Broncos right now. I mean, they've got to find a way to blend press coverage with some matchup zone. They're not Tlaib and Harris anymore. I get it. But you can't be so far off that you're giving up every completion. Flacco said yesterday after the game, D-Mac, he said, we could have thrown 55 times and easily won. That's how he saw their coverage.
You know, the these games always take a little something out of you. And when you lose, it's always emotional. But when you talk to this team, do you still get the sense that they have plenty more to play for and this was just a bump in the road? Or did you say it was a devastating loss?
Well, it's one of those, you know this, Al, there's a handful of crossroads moments and seasons, and they've reached one because they've hit adversity now for the first time. And we talked about how they've got to be smarter. The 13 penalties, no matter how many of them are bad calls, that's way too many. And they have to be more disciplined, and they can't point fingers. Last year, when the slide started, it got ugly because the sides kind of divided, and you saw guys who were blaming guys. And that is the key right now. What is this locker room? How is it different? Can they hold together? Because they might lose two of the next three games and play well in those games. So they've got to find a way to deal with adversity and kind of tie a knot and hang on to the rope here because it's going to get – the schedule is getting more difficult. But it wasn't a devastating loss. They were more frustrated and they felt like they should have won. That's a good sign. But you can't win – playing undisciplined football, and that's something they can control. Some of the times you can't control the talent, and the other team's better. You can control some of these other mistakes that they have to clean up.
All right, great stuff, Troy. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Troy Rank, brought to you by the Trinity Law Offices. Mark Schlereth had some really interesting comments, specifically about Garrett Bowles. We'll get to those after we listen to Mark Schlereth, an exclamation mark.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Schomp BMW.
Case Keenum had a poor game. There's no other way to put it. But that whole offense had a poor game. You know, there's not one guy on that offense, I think, that can look at himself clearly and say, man, I was great today. From losing Philip Lindsay to a drop by Cortland Sutton to there was another drop in that game to an offensive line that absolutely got rattled with holding calls and everything else. You ran the ball pretty well. I thought that Royce Freeman ran the ball pretty well and you had some gaping holes. But when you play behind the chains, when you're always first and 15 or first and 20, when you're constantly in second second and 17. I don't care who you are as an offense. There is no offense that can operate in those circumstances. So you can sit and say, well, Case Keenum held the ball a little bit too long. Hell yeah, he did. When it's third down and 14, you're going to hold the ball to see if you can push receivers down the field. That's the way this game works, people. So, you know, it's complementary in nature, and that's what you have to understand when you're talking about football. So to sit there and paint Case Keenum 5 interceptions and a couple in the red zones, he's no longer viable, and you know, he's regressed back to being journeyman status. I would say pump your brakes, hold on, give him a chance to come back and do it a few more times before we pass judgment. That's what needs to happen. So, you know what? Monday night's another opportunity to prove yourself when you get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.